I've entitled the message for this evening, What About the Sabbath? What About the Sabbath? Now, the passage of Scripture I just read, this is the fourth of five consecutive confrontations with the Pharisees. You can see them in order beginning in Mark chapter 2. Their first objection was, Who is this that forgives sins? Only God can do that. And then their second objection was, What's he doing eating with publicans and sinners? Their third objection was, Why is it that the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast and pray, and you all don't? Something's wrong with that. And this objection, Why are you breaking the Sabbath? Why are your disciples breaking the Sabbath? And if you look at the fifth one found in the first part of chapter 3, it's when he healed somebody on the Sabbath and they accused him of working. And after that, they said, We're going to kill him. We're going to destroy him. They got together to figure out what they could do about him this early in his public ministry. They hated him. Now, what's interesting about this event concerning the Sabbath is if you look in Matthew's account, it's right after Matthew says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that's what the Sabbath is about, rest. And then we're given this story. He goes directly into a cornfield. Now look in chapter 2, verse 23 of Mark chapter 2. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And as his disciples began, as they went to pluck the ears of corn, the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day, that which is not lawful. Now, the first thing that I think about is what were they doing in the cornfield in the first place? That's kind of strange, isn't it? You know, they were constantly watching the Lord to find out something they could disagree with and something they could expose him. So here they are in the cornfield. They're going to try to find something against him. Verse 24, the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? They were picking wheat. It's wheat, actually, not corn as corn on the cob. It was wheat, and they were taking the shells off, and the Pharisees were interpreting this as work, threshing, and they were saying, You're breaking the Sabbath. Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath. Now, there's a book called the Talmud. Maybe you've heard of it. And it has 24 chapters on what you can do and cannot do on the Sabbath day. It's dedicated to all these different rules. As a matter of fact, it tells you how many steps you can take. Does anybody here wear a Fitbit? 2,999 was the limit. I've got a Fitbit, and I always walk more than that. I mean, I always get real excited when you get the 10,000, hear the ding, you know. But 2,999 steps. And there are exceptions if you need to walk more, but they've got all these rules concerning the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees had all these man-made rules added to it, and really didn't understand what the Sabbath day was all about. They made a work out of not working, and what a work it was, how difficult this day must have been. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 for a moment. Exodus chapter 20. Here we have the law concerning the Sabbath day. Verse 8. Now this is in the Ten Commandments. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, Sunday through Friday, and do all thy work, but the seventh, Saturday, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, working was forbidden on the Sabbath day. Yes, it was a day of rest, a day off from work. Everyone needs a day off, but the Pharisees had made such a work of not working, and they'd made many man-made rules that they attached to the Sabbath. And it was given to teach us about resting, about not working, about resting in Christ. That's the purpose of the Sabbath, is to teach us something about resting. Turn with me for a moment to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. They put him in a ward, put him in jail, because it was not declared yet what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, here's the point. If you work, you'll be put to death. That's the point. If you work, if you believe in salvation by works in any way, you will be put to death. You have not learned the gospel. You've not learned anything yet about resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Sabbath was first mentioned with regard to creation. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 1? Verse 31. This is at the end of the creation. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, this is a powerful gospel message. Let's go on reading the first three verses of Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to notice these words that I emphasize. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now the earth was formed in 6 days. Somebody says, does that mean 6 24-hour periods? Well, if that's what it means, yes. I don't know, because the scripture does say that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. If this does mean 6 24-hour periods, fine, great. Yeah, that's exactly what we believe. If it means something else, well, we believe that. The point is the gospel in this. You know, I think it's interesting. I had a guy come from the Creation Museum several years ago, and he was wanting me to get people to come and visit the Creation whatever it is, the ark and all that kind of stuff up there. And he said, do you hold to a literal six literal day creation? I said, well, if that's what it teaches, I do. He said, what do you mean by that? And he said, it could mean something else. You know, and I quoted the scripture, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. I don't know what all that means. If it means 6 days, fine. If it doesn't, he said, well, you're compromising. Well, that got under my skin when he said that. And I said, do you preach that God predestinated and elected people, and Christ died for the elect and accomplished their salvation? And he looked at me and said, well, we don't make an issue of that. Okay. So who's compromising? You know, we just... And that's kind of getting off the subject. But look at Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Completed. Nothing left to create. Finished. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, he wasn't tired. He didn't need to take a nap. He rested because the work was finished. It had ended. There was nothing left to do. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God had created and God had made. Now, he finished the work of creation. What were the Lord's last words from the cross? It is finished. Now, the Lord looked at his work. It was very good. The Lord's was a lot better than that. Scripture says, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He completely saved everybody he died for, and he said, it is finished. There is nothing left to do. Do you hear that? There's nothing left for you to do. It is finished. It is completed. It has been ended. He made an end. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, this is the Sabbath. And I love the way he says he blessed the day and sanctified it and made it holy. Remember the way the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? You know the way you keep the Sabbath day holy? By resting. By resting. Now, the Pharisees had totally missed all this. They were blind to it. They made this day one miserable day for everybody. They had so many rules and regulations and loopholes, things you could do, things you couldn't do. 24 chapters devoted in the Talmud to this. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 2. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And there is a rule about threshing. And they could consider this threshing, taking something off in order to eat it. They could consider this a rule and think, well, he is breaking the Sabbath. They're breaking the Sabbath. And I love the way the Lord answers them. And he said unto them, have you never read? What a dig. Why, they had read this hundreds of times. They'd pored over the Sabbath. How do we keep this? How do we keep these rules? What do we know? Of course we've read. But he's saying, you've never understood anything you've read. Have you never read? And he gives two instances, one here and two in the in Matthew's account. We'll look at that. But he says, have you never read what David did when he had need? and was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. He didn't break the Sabbath. You must not have read that. Look in Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 12. Verse 3. And he said unto them, have you not read what David did when in hunger, he and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, on the Sabbath day, they had a lot of work to do. They had a lot of work to do. They had a lot of slaying to do, skinning to do, cutting up to do, burning to do, offering sacrifices. I mean, it was a big day of a whole lot of work. And they were blameless. Those priests who were operating in the temple. And the Lord says something that blows them away, verse 6, but I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now what he means by that is, I'm God. I'm God. What I say goes. If I say this is okay on the Sabbath, it's okay because I said it. You know, sometimes it's a good thing to say to your children, if they say, why? Because I said so. Christ, whatever he says, because he said it. That makes it right. And he said, I am greater than the temple. Now to the Jews, the temple was the center of their worship. When he says, I'm greater than the temple, as marvelous and important as that structure was, he's infinitely greater because he's God. He is the temple of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you know, this temple at this time actually was a sham temple. The original temple that Solomon had built had been ransacked by Nebuchadnezzar hundreds of years before this. And they had rebuilt the temple, but the thing about this original temple, and this is what makes this one's a sham. When Solomon opened the temple 1,000 years before that, and they offered the first sacrifice according to 2 Chronicles 7:1, you know what happened? Fire came down from heaven and devoured the sacrifice. And in the worship of that temple for hundreds of years, they kept that fire going. It was a divine fire that came down from God that was used to burn the sacrifices. When Nebuchadnezzar came and sacked the temple, he leveled it to the ground, and that was gone. So everything that they were doing really was a sham. It wasn't divine. It wasn't real. They didn't have the actual ark. They didn't have the actual a lot of the furniture of the temple. And I love to think about when that rail or that veil was rent, when the Lord died, that veil was rent. You know what was back there? Nothing. They didn't have an ark. They didn't have a mercy seat. It was exposed as nothing. And the Lord says, I am greater than this temple. He that built the house has more honor than the house. He is God. There stands one greater than this temple. Now, go back to Mark chapter 2. Verse 27. He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. It was made for the benefit of man. Both in a literal way, what a blessing to have a day off. And in the spiritual way, it's given to teach us to not work, to rest in Christ. He finished the work. It's all ended. There's nothing to do. I want you to think about that. There's nothing to do. You're already complete in Christ. You can't get any more saved, accepted, righteous, holy, loved than you are in Christ right now. Verse 28, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, this was a law that they thought they could keep, and he is messing up their thinking, and they're angry. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, I love saying this. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. The word Lord means having power. The Lord is the one whose will is done. He has all power because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Preachers say, won't you make Jesus your Lord? I beg your pardon. He is your Lord. I love that scripture in Romans 14:9. For this end Christ both died and revived and rose again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Those who are dead in sins, he's their Lord. Those who are living, oh, he's their Lord. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. His lordship is his will being done. And you think about this. In creation, what took place? His will was done, wasn't it? He just willed the universe into existence. In providence, that's everything that happens in time. Everything that's happened since time began and everything that will happen until time is over and time is no more. Everything that happens is his will being done. Whatever's happening to you right now is his will being done. That's why Paul said, in everything give thanks. For this, what you're called on to give thanks for, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, I don't understand what all he's doing, but he does. And that's all I care about. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he brings good out of evil all the time. Everything that takes place is his will being done. And in salvation, oh, the salvation of the sinner is his will being done, isn't it? It's him willing the salvation of the sinner. The leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, said, I will, be thou clean. Anybody who has ever known the Lord savingly knows him as Lord. I think the most beautiful illustration of it's a thief. Now, he's nailed to a cross in pain that we don't know anything about. Beside him is one who's nailed to a cross. You couldn't even recognize his face. He has a crown of thorns. He seems so helpless. He seems forsaken. He heard the Lord say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He saw this one who seemingly was so helpless, and he said, Lord, you're the Lord. And you're not going to stay on this cross. You're not going to stay dead. You're going to come back as a mighty, reigning king. He knew his Lord, didn't he? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, he's Lord of the physical universe. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? He's Lord of demons. They couldn't make a move without his permission. He's the devil's Lord. He's God's devil on God's chain performing God's will. Devil doesn't know that, but it's so. You see, he's very powerful, I know. Satan's very powerful. I don't want to have anything to do with it, but my Lord is all powerful. And the devil's no match for him. He is Lord of angels. They do his will. He's Lord of unbelievers. I love it when that group came to arrest him. And that's estimated between anywhere between 500 and 1,000 people that came out with staves to arrest the Lord Jesus. And he said, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, I am. And the whole group fell backwards. You know why? He's letting them know, I'm no victim. I'm Lord. And I'm in control of everything that takes place. Pilate, that paper ruler, said, don't you know that I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you? He said, you have no power at all over me, except it be given thee from above. He's Lord of all, but he's most especially Lord of the believer. And Thomas expressed it best, my Lord and my God. For God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he is Lord of the Sabbath. Not only Lord of the Sabbath day. You see, what he says goes. If those fellas are plucking ears of corn, even though the Pharisees say, well, that's breaking the Sabbath. If he says it's not, it's not. That's his authority. He has no law over his head. What he says is right. He doesn't say because it's right. It's right because he says it. That's who he is. He's the Lord. Not only is the Lord of the Sabbath day, he's the Lord of the Sabbath rest. Now turn with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter 4. Somebody may ask, do you believe that in the perpetuity of the Sabbath, do you believe the Sabbath is still going on? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe in the Sabbath. Now, I don't believe that foolishness of it being changed from Saturday to Sunday. Now, it's a Christian Sabbath. That's foolishness. You can't find that in Scripture. Well, it's changed from Saturday to Sunday. No, it hadn't. No, it hadn't. Well, I haven't got to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear. Don't take this for granted. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Be afraid of that. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know what that means? They didn't rest. They didn't rest. They heard the gospel, but they never rest. They made a big work out of the Sabbath day. They had no understanding of what the Sabbath meant. Rest. Now, let's go on reading. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he's going to use the creation as an example of what he meant. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Because the work was finished. There was nothing to do. The gospel is not due. The gospel is, it's done. Rest. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into a rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they or they shall not enter into my rest. Although, and look at this statement. Not enough has been said about this, by me or anybody else. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, how finished is this rest? It was finished before time began. That's how complete and full this is. It was finished before time began. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they or they shall not enter into my rest, is what that is. I don't know why the translators put it that way, but it's they shall not enter into my rest. These people who didn't believe. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For Jesus, or Joshua, is who that's talking about. That's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Old Testament Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, they would not have afterwards spoken of another rest. There remaineth therefore a rest. And my marginal reading says, a keeping of the Sabbath. A Sabbatism. Now here is the Christian Sabbath. There remaineth therefore a rest. Now, this is not talking about a day. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us in Colossians 2, don't you dare let somebody judge you about days and Sabbath days and so on. Don't do that. This is the true Sabbath. They which have believed do enter into rest. The rest of not working because all the work has already been done. Now, look in verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath. What do those next five words say? Ceased. Ceased. That's a strong word. Ceased from his own works. What do you think about your own works? Now come on, what do you think about your own works? I'm talking about the best of them. What do you think about your own works? They're no good. Now, I want to love Christ. I want to follow Him. I want to take up my cross daily and follow Him. But what do you think about your own works? You know, somebody thinks that believers get higher rewards in heaven because of their own works. Do you really think any of your works deserve a higher reward in heaven? Is there anybody that thinks that? Well, you're crazy if you do. He that hath entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works. By the grace of God, I'm ceasing. The work's been finished. It's been completed. Christ said it. It is finished. He that's entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. Why would you want to hold on to those things anyway? I love what my little sister said, Cindy. She went to Asbury, and the preacher was saying, won't you give Jesus your heart? She thought, what would he want with it? What would he want with it? He'll give you a new heart. That's what I need. Create in me a clean heart, O God. He that's entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. You know, God didn't keep creating, did he? He didn't bring new matter into the universe. That didn't come about until the Lord Jesus Christ came in and became incarnate. He brought new matter into the universe, but nothing like that had happened to then. God had ceased. All works were finished. Oh, may the Lord enable us to cease from our own works and trust the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says in verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Do not rest until you rest. Cease. Right now. Right now. Just forget yourself. Forget your works. Cease from your own works and rest in His. Yes, we believe in the Christian Sabbath, don't we? There remains a Sabbath keeping. What's the point of Sabbath keeping? Not working. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for that rest we have in thy Son, that we're completely accepted in him, how we give thanks. Lord, I ask in Christ's name that you would enable everybody here by your grace to rest in your Son. How we thank you for that rest that remains for thy people. Enable us to continue resting. In his name we pray. Amen. Come leave us a closing hymn.